But I want to point out, as I mentioned in the first lecture, that there's a major break or dichotomy when Henry James and other writers come along. And they separate out serious adult literature from children's literature. And into the category of children's literature gets stuffed all kinds of fantasy, whether it's appropriate for children or not. Now, remember, we're talking about the Victorian period. So within the category of children's literature, there became literature that was appropriate for children or not. Remember, as the period goes on, people get more serious about religion. People get more serious about how they're going to treat children. They get a little bit almost ideologically strange about what things they're going to expose children to or not. So then you have these texts that have magic and monsters and ghost stories and scary happenings, and they're in that children's genre because that's who they were written for. And yet the parents are saying, you know, not necessarily appropriate for children. And so that very broad children's genre starts to divide up. On the other side is the adult genre, which Henry James and others are saying, realism, realism, realism. Realism's appropriate for adults. Realism's appropriate for men also, whereas romance is for women, fantasy is for children. And you see this kind of division going on. And what that means is that even when someone wanted to write something in a very serious mode, they wanted to talk about a very serious issue, if they wanted to have fantastic elements, it got shunted over to children's literature. And then within children's literature, it started to get shunted out of children's literature. And so I think you can see how children's literature starts to divide that way into what might be considered like fairy tales and little kid stories and more into more significant but still children's literature. And the book I want to look at first here then is Alice in Wonderland, because I'm assuming that many of you are very familiar with this, if only through the Disney movie. The book itself actually repays adult reading very much, and if you haven't read it since you were a child, you should give it a try. Remember also that there's really two books. It's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Alice's Adventures Through the Looking Glass. The Disney movie takes episodes from both and kind of scrambles them together. But in fact, Carol has them very distinctively set. Alice wakes up from one dream and then goes into another. I'm not going to go through the entire plot of Alice in Wonderland because it's not too difficult to follow. Far more important than the plot is what Carroll does to justify all of this material. And what he does is he essentially says, he wimps out in the end and says it's just a dream. But for the whole first part of going through there, it's just an adventure. And all the weird things that happen to Alice, the eating the cake that makes her small or the potion that makes her large, and all of those other adventures just happen one after another. They don't need an elaborate motivation. And that's really important because the success of Alice in Wonderland then allowed other writers to come in and say, wow, we can just tell a great story without that extra motivation. Without saying, oh, and yes, when she was dreaming, the Queen of Hearts was actually the gardener. I mean, you can see how this would work. It's kind of what they do in the movie of The Wizard of Oz, where all the characters in The Wizard of Oz turn out to be the people who were around Dorothy's bedside. But that's not necessary, and in fact, it's harmful in some ways for the development of fantasy, which was trying to split itself apart from the real world and to give itself more freedom.